Okay, well, hello and welcome to the regular scheduled meeting of the Morro Bay Planning Commission. This is Tuesday, April 17th, 2018, and we're at the Veterans Memorial Building at 209 Surf Street in, of course, Morro Bay. All members are present, so we have a quorum. I'll call this meeting to order. So at this time, could we please observe a moment of silence? Right, thank you very much. Please stand, face the flag, and let's pledge of allegiance. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, do we have any planning commissioner announcements? Joseph?
Yes, I'd like to encourage everyone to attend the Morro Bay Open Space Alliance Open House at the Morro Bay Golf Course on this Thursday between 5 and 8. Morro Bay Open Space Alliance is a land conservancy started here in Morro Bay, and we're working on acquiring the Cerrito Peak in Morro Bay, which is an interesting urban wilderness area, and cooperating with some other land conservancies to acquire the Chevron Tract, which is a 3,000-acre tract, or thereabouts, at the north end of Morro Bay. Free appetizers, and see some artists displaying their works as well, and learn about what's going on to conserve land here.
When was that again, Joseph?
Thursday, the 19th, 5 to 8, at the Morro Bay Golf Course, the clubhouse.
Okay, anybody else? Michael?
I just wanted to thank staff and the city for letting us attend the commissioners' conference. It was enlightening, even when there was no power. It's the only time I've gone to bed with a glow stick in my hotel room. But there were a lot of interesting, fascinating things. I came away more paranoid than ever of the ability of the state to impact local conditions. That seemed to be what the League of Cities was primarily interested in educating us about, along with some indices about housing, which is critical. And I think it explained a lot for me why you see legislation come out of Sacramento. They kind of look at the larger aggregate of all the cities and say, this isn't happening, we're going to make it happen. So I think it's a lesson learned as we look at our own city.
Richard, anything? Yeah, and I'd like to echo those comments. There was a lot of really good information and some good networking, and also, you know, one of the tidbits that I gleaned from it was that there's 5,614 laws or bills that are in the state houses dealing with housing and available housing and how to... Basically, a lot of them are how to reduce the local input on those, you know, on housing. So I think we all need to stay up on what's going on, because it can really really affect what our neighborhoods can look like. So stay informed, people, please. Okay, at this time, I'll open the floor to public comment. This is a time for members of the audience wishing to address the commission on matters not on the agenda. You may do so at this time. Please come to the podium and state your name, and you'll have 3 minutes. Okay? Going once, going twice. Okay? Please. This is for items not on the agenda. Okay. Thank you. We'll be getting to the items here shortly. Okay, I'll close public comment. And seeing we have no presentations, we'll move on to the consent calendar, which is the current and advanced planning processing list. And that's the only thing on the item. Do we need to make a motion or a action?
I mean, technically, I guess it's receive and file. You don't have to make a motion.
Okay. Then we'll receive and file. I do have a couple questions on the projected planning list. We received EIRs for both the Panorama project and then I believe the wastewater treatment plant. So do we have any idea? I didn't see them on the list. Do we have any idea when they're going to be coming forward?
The EIR for the WRF water reclamation facility is out. And the MND, mitigated negative declaration. Richard has a copy. It's 2 inches. Yeah, it's a solid document. And then we do have the mitigated negative declaration that we released for the Panorama tank demolition project. That review period is closed, although we'll continue to take comments if you want to provide them. And we're probably looking at a June date for a meeting right now. We haven't dialed it in completely because we have several items that have to make our way through this board for the general plan and LCP update. And so it's kind of like landed planes a little bit. You kind of got to get them in there. We don't want you to put a big general plan item on there when you're reviewing the Panorama Tank project because there's going to be a lot of interest from that neighborhood, and we want to give that a fair shake, and I don't want to load that agenda up with other stuff. I'd like us to have a full, vetting of that project because of all of the interest. So
okay.
We're trying to put it on an agenda. We don't have a lot of other things on it.
Okay, good. Yeah, it'd be nice to keep our reading down below 1,000 pages.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. And then so now we'll move on to public hearings. We have one item. The first item is B1. It's case number A00-054 to amend UPO-284. It's at 1001 Front Street in Morro Bay. Can we please, do we have a staff report?
Good evening, Chairperson Luer and members of the Planning Commission. The item before you is an application for an amendment to a precise plan. It's an amendment request to conditional use permit UP0284 that was approved by the Planning Commission in 2012. This is Burgess Landing. Project location is 1001 Front Street, and on the screen you'll see an aerial image of the area of Morro Bay. It is located at the corner of Embarcadero and Beach Street, also known as Front Street in this area. Won't go into the details on that, but just to give you a project summary, this amendment request would allow Burgess Landing permanent seasonal use of a 48-square-foot kiosk at 1001 Front Street. The area that the kiosk would be located is on private property. This address is also, a portion of this address on the west side is also a city lease site. That lease site number was included in the staff report because the conditional use permit covers both lease site and private property area. And just for full disclosure, that's why you see a city lease site. But this is, this location of where the kiosk would go is privately held property. And the APN number is included in the staff report. The kiosk location would be located between the parking lot and the public sidewalk. The proposed size of the kiosk is 6 foot by 8 feet by 7.5 feet tall. Essentially, it's a renovated tough shed to give it the appearance of a nautical image. Customer service for the kiosk, which would serve as information booth, ticket sales, and other passenger loading information for the Verges Landing business would be provided via a Dutch door on the south side of the kiosk, and I'll show you some images in just a moment. Also worthwhile to point out that the Verges Landing boats do dock at this location, 1001 Front Street, and I can show you an image of that as well. The seasonal use that the applicant is requesting is to allow the kiosk to be placed on site between April 1st and November 30th. It would be physically moved off-site during the winter months, that four-month absence. And proposed hours of operation in the shoulder season, April, May, and October and November, the kiosk would be open weekends only and special events from 10 to 2. And primarily the peak tourist season, June through September, the kiosk would be open 7 days a week from 10 to 3. Or as early as 9 to 3, excuse me, Friday through Sunday. Just to give you a little bit of background on the kiosk itself, this was previously approved at the staff level as a temporary use permit. It was actually approved twice. It was approved, the info's in the staff report, it's not on the slide, but it was approved in 2016 for a six-month period, and due to some extenuating circumstances, the first temporary use permit was not inaugurated and it had expired, but it was in April 2017 that a second temporary use permit paid for by the applicant was approved for a six-month period, and it was there long enough that it was captured in street view imagery. And here's what it looked like when it was there on site 2017. As you can see, it's blue and white with a shingle roof and appointed with oars on orange oars you see in the picture, fish identification chart, menu board, so on and so forth. Here's some more street view images of that. The aerial view of the site, 1001 front, and here this is also a Google image, and it actually, okay, well, having some technical difficulties here, but where the giant red arrow is pointing is the, you can see it's visible, is the kiosk location. This location also includes some existing waterfront uses. To the north is the Stacks Wine Bar. The fuel dock to the right for the commercial fishing wharf that's there in the northwest corner. And then on the south end is the coffee pot restaurant, the shirt shop, Giovanni's Fish Market, and the fishing slips. The boats there in this picture, though, are not Verges Landing. The Verges Landing has three boats, and they typically dock at the three vacant slips you see on the screen, and that was according to the Harbor Department. Here's a site image where you can see straight away in the center is where their proposed location would be between the parking lot and the sidewalk. And a site plan image that shows on this screen. On this image, you'll see the, excuse me, to the top, okay, my pointer's dead, so we'll just have to give you some verbal description here. At the top of the image is where the street is, and bottom of the image is the parking lot, and there's a close-up view and plan view that shows ADA ramp that leads to, or ADA compliant access to the customer service window. Applicant has provided color materials and signs. This would essentially, the proposal before the Planning Commission tonight is to essentially approve the exact same thing that the temporary use permit approval granted. The difference is that pursuant to our zoning code, the director only has authority to approve temporary use permits up to 6 months. Beyond that, it requires Planning Commission approval. And that, in a nutshell, is the application before you. These next few slides show the north and east elevations. I'm just going to walk through those as well. This is the south and west elevations, and north and east. And let me catch up here on my notes. As part of this conditional use permit, the applicant's 2012 precise plan approval also required a coastal development permit. In the city's precise plan approval that this Virgis Landing application is seeking to amend, there are no specific conditions in that precise permit that talk about requirement for lateral access, but it is picked up in the coastal development permit. There was extended information in the Coastal Commission staff report regarding lateral access. This is a unique site in that it is the northwest end of this property is an active commercial fishing wharf, and there's active loading and offloading, and it gets quite busy there. However, the Coastal Commission, pursuant to the Coastal Act requirements, conditioned that the applicant provide for lateral access, and as approved, and as you see in your plans, Exhibit D, Coastal Commission drew out in their own handwriting the location of the 10-foot accessway. It is accessed from the north at Beach Street, goes south through that public viewing deck area, through the commercial wharf area, and then goes past the patio area adjacent to and around it. And here is a paraphrasing that Coastal Commission lateral access condition requirement, which does require that there be lateral access through the commercial fishing area, but that it should be open as much as possible. But it did allow the applicant in this 2012 coastal permit to close it during active fish unloading activities, and recognize that there may be times where there might be unsafe public access. During those times where the applicant was allowed to temporarily close that public access, they're allowed to do that with ropes and bollards and a sign that says access is temporarily closed, and then give directions to pedestrians to go to the street. So that is part of the approval. If you want the complete condition, I do have the CDP with me, but this is the requirement in a nutshell. And here's some images of what that looks like. I did receive comments or questions earlier in the day through a phone call from Chairperson Luer, who asked for some additional detail on what the lateral access looks like. And so I've taken the opportunity to provide some extra information for the Planning Commission. This is that access as you are on Beach Street on the public sidewalk, and there is currently a gate there. This wood gate has existed, to the best of staff's knowledge, for quite a long time, long since before the permit. And as you see in the middle of the image, there is a sign there that says Coastal Access, and it is painted with a yellow hatch mark pathway you can see there in the picture. This is me walking south through the site. The 2012 approval did approve the parking lot. The pathway stands. So here I'm at the other end of the wharf, and now I've turned around and I'm looking north. You can see that the yellow painted pathway is a little bit faded over the years from the active fishing operations. Staff is recommending that the Planning Commission add a condition that be repainted and refreshed to increase the awareness of that public access. This is another image looking north, and here you'll see on this day they were doing some work, and there is some of their equipment in the area of the lateral access. In the middle of the site, this is the area that leads to the gangway that goes down to the slips, and then along the patio area. And this is two images. On the bottom left is the south end of the site and the south of the patio area. And then upper right is an image of an existing sign. There are coastal access signs throughout the site. That was conditioned as part of their 2012 use permit. Okay. Oops. So, as stated, this is an amendment of our precise plan approval. I think I might have my, okay, my slides out of order here. Waterfront Master Plan encourages waterfront-dependent uses. This project supports a recreational fishing use. Staff is recommending approval of this project. They would be required to either get a coastal development permit for the kiosk or a waiver as applicable, and that would be required prior to placing the kiosk on site. Staff's recommendation based on the site visit today and is that the Planning Commission consider adding a Condition 6 to the Planning Commission resolution before you based on just staff observations of what that lateral access looks like today. It's pretty faded, wear and tear. Staff does routinely visit the site, and we have noticed that since at least 2014-15 when that pathway was added, is that they do keep this the wood gate open, not all of the time, but a majority of the time, as is consistent with their coastal permit requirement. The other thing that I staff wanted to point out is one thing regarding the kiosk, and I forgot to mention this here, is staff is recommending a condition of approval be added that the kiosk be manned at all times when it is open for business. One of the concerns that staff looked at and reviewed when this was previously permitted is that due to the small nature of the kiosk, essentially this could function as off-site signage. The applicant's brick-and-mortar business is on 1169 Market. It's on Market Street. Their boats are down on this lee side. So staff's recommended a condition that it be manned to ensure that this actually is used as a kiosk and it is used for the application that they are requesting, which is ticket sales information. During the previous 6 months when it was operating under a temporary use permit, staff's observation was that it was frequently empty and not used. And so that is why staff's recommending that condition. And that concludes my my presentation. I would just add that with the recommended condition 6, that the Planning Commission conditionally approve the project via resolution 1218 for the plans received by the city on April 2nd, 2018. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any ex parte communications? Okay, great. Do we have any questions for our staff?
Am I correct in understanding that the applicant can't put a sign there because that would be off-site advertising, notwithstanding the fact that he has his fleet there?
So the kiosk itself will have signs on it. As you saw in the image, it'll say Burgess Landing, and based on the size of that actual structure, the amount of signage that they're proposing to put on the kiosk is compliant with our sign ordinance. But the structure itself, in effect, at only 48 square feet, is not likely to... Staff has questions on whether or not that would actually function for its intended use.
So the issue was when we issued the temporary use permit for the use previously, I don't know that it was ever manned for the 6 months previously, but there was there's some issues, and the applicant can speak to why they didn't man it. So my concern at the time because of that was, okay, it's not being manned for the purposes that we issued the permit for. So what it effectively served as is off-site signage, which is, we don't allow other people to do that. Why would we allow them? But if they're, they come forward and they're legitimately going to use it for the intended purpose, that's fine. That's a legitimate commercial use, and as long as they're going to use it for that purpose, I have no issue with that. It's just when we issued it previously, it basically served as an off-site sign. Their business is not down on the waterfront. Their storefront is not down on the waterfront. Their boats are, obviously. So And then them being able to have that there, you know, is, you know, sort of, it's a little bit of an issue from a competitive standpoint from other folks because they don't have the, you know, lease space down there to have a presence from a sign standpoint. So, again, if they're going to operate it, though, I don't have much of an issue as long as they're going to man it.
I think you've answered my question, though. But the fleet, the boats notwithstanding, that's not sufficient to say that they have an operation there that would allow them to put a sign up at that location without the building.
So we have signed, they could come forward with a sign application, but it's based on building frontages and things like that. And so you actually have tenants in those buildings, and so they'd have to alter their sign programs on those buildings to allow for that type of signage. So.
Yes.
And it would be a little, it would have to be very specific signage so it wasn't confusing to folks. They wouldn't think like that operation was operating out of the building. You know, so there's issues that would go along with that.
I do have a few questions here, they may be more for the applicant. So,
just for staff.
Just for staff. Okay. So, the kiosk can't be pushed back towards the slips because.
So, it can't be pushed back toward the slips because the area along the west side of the site is required by Coastal Commission to be maintained as a public viewing area. If the kiosk is pushed to the west side, it blocks that required lateral access required by their coastal permit. It can't be pushed into the parking lot because all of those parking spaces are all required parking for the commercial uses on site. So there is no area that's not currently encumbered by a permitted or a conditioned use. And so that's why it's in this area. And if I may add, I didn't mention this at the beginning of my presentation, but staff did receive three, just wanted to put this in the record, that staff did receive three letters from two citizens of Morro Bay. And those letters were passed to the Planning Commission, and they are also available at the public counter or at the public table there if the public wants to review them, excuse me.
Another question I did have, you mentioned a city lease site. Where is the city lease site as it pertains to the kiosk?
Yeah, so it's shown on the map. It's shown on the plans. And if you look at the full-size plans, it's the first page. If you're looking at the PDF or the printed version, it's the third page. And it essentially runs diagonally through the Giovanni's Fish Market building. And then once it gets to the parking lot, that city lease line is pretty much contiguous with the lateral access pathway. So once you're at the northwest corner, that fuel dock, that's city lease site. Everything east of that, including Stack's Wine Bar, is all private property. And that there's a dotted line on the plans that show that.
Oh, I think that's all I have for staff.
Yeah, Richard, you have any questions?
Yeah. When staff allowed this temporary permit, did you guys check pedestrian traffic and the safety issue with that? Because I have a...
were we aware of any issues that arose? I mean, they didn't man it very much, so we took a look at where we wanted them to load. We didn't want them to take tickets from the side that was adjacent facing the sidewalk,
right?
Because people would back up on the sidewalk, and the sidewalk is narrow there. That was one of the issues that we brought forward to them. So you can't stack people that are coming there in that location. They need to be on the site, not in the sidewalk. And okay. So that was the conversation that we had with the applicant when we did that. Moving forward, if there were to be an issue, because it's a conditional use permit, we can bring it back for a readdress if we need to. But they're aware of the issue, and they're aware of where they're supposed to direct the folks to be, you know, queuing, I guess, if they were waiting at the thing. They're not supposed to be on the sidewalk. So, if there ends up being an issue, then we could, you know, reevaluate it through the CUP because we can always bring it back. So
just so I'm clear, the sidewalk will be, like, you'll be queuing parallel to the sidewalk, yeah?
No, the queuing's on the south side of the kiosk, and there's a condition in the resolution that requires that they serve customers from the south side, not the west side.
Mm-hmm.
And
Well, yeah, good. Okay.
Yeah, and they show an area south of that that would accommodate a small queuing area.
Okay.
It's not expected that there would be crowds of people at the kiosk, but again, it wasn't quite busy during the last 6 months, as Scott just mentioned.
Michael, any questions?
Yeah, was anything offered in terms of increased business from the previous two permit terms by the owner?
So the hours of operation that we have in the permit, I guess, okay, go ahead.
Okay, so in the previous TUP, they requested to be open, I believe it was 7 days a week from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. because they said, you know, the boats will leave early in the morning and we need somebody down there to help people load, sell tickets. Sometimes it's confusing because if they find the business online, they go to Market Street where the brick and mortar business is, but then they need help getting down to the waterfront. And this current TUP, the one notable difference is that they're only asking to be open from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and that's weekends, and then, you know, 10 to 2 during the week and in the summer months. So you have this 8 months, and it's a much shorter hours of operation.
But they didn't offer any evidence that the presence of this had increased their sales? Or?
No, they did not.
Okay, I'll hold my questions. At this time, we'll open it up for public comment. So would the applicant or owner please step forward first?
Good evening, Chair, Laura, and Commissioners. My name is Kathy Novak. I'm from Novak Consulting. I'm here representing the Verges for their kiosk project. First, I'd like to thank staff for their time and efforts on this project and recommendation for approval. Staff has provided detailed reports, so I'm going to be brief with my comments. Verges is probably one of the oldest businesses in Morro Bay, and they have done everything in their power to stay viable despite the downturn in the economy a few years ago and other problems that have come their way over the past few years. Verges currently operates a tackle shop on Market Street, approximately two blocks from the proposed kiosk and dock location. This tackle shop will remain as its primary location for bait, tackle, fishing licenses, and other merchandise sales. Verges has tried to secure a new location on the waterfront for several years because it is very difficult to operate a fishing boat business with a remote tackle shop location. For background information, one of the sites they considered was the vacant lease site south of the South T-Pier. However, this idea has been on hold for some time since the city has also considered this site as the potential for the boat haul-out. Verges has and continues to look for a waterfront location, but there are a limited number of places that have coordinating buildings that can accommodate the passengers and the boat operations as well. It remains as a very important goal for Verges to get a presence back down on the waterfront, so the kiosk is proposed at this location where their boats are docked and the passengers are boarded and until a permanent location can be found. As noted by staff, the purpose of the kiosk is for information and to sell tickets for the sport fishing and whale watching. There will be a Verges staff around in the early morning at times to assist sport fishing passengers and direct them to the tackle shop, parking, and help with the boat loading. The Verges staff will man the booth during the time of day for information and ticket sales. The proposed hours of operation are noted in your staff report, so I won't go over those now. Last, I would like to note that the Verges' plans to keep the kiosk on the waterfront are from April to November, and then it will be removed in the winter months and stored at an off-site location. I would like to add that the reason for this proposed timing is directly related to the fishing seasons. In conclusion, we feel that maintaining a sport fishing fleet is an integral part of Morro Bay's identity since we are a working harbor. To that end, allowing Verges to have a kiosk to assist in their business operations and to provide a waterfront presence where their boats are docked is key to their continued success for the business and support of the sport fishing industry. With that, I would like to respectfully request that the Planning Commission approve this project as proposed. This concludes my presentation I had put together, and then, however, since there was a couple of comment letters that came up today, I think I'd like to take a few minutes of time now just to respond to some of those comments so I can hopefully prevent some questions from you after this is over. So one of the first items that was mentioned, the kiosk was not removed, and it was stored on site. Yes, there was an error last year when the kiosk was supposed to be removed, and there was some miscommunications about being able to store it on site. They thought it was private property and they could do that. When the city told us that they can't store it on site, it was removed, and now it has been made clear that with the applicant that they will need to remove this from the site and not store it on site at the off months that the kiosk is not permitted. The second item, the kiosk was not manned as much last year, mainly because boat repairs were going on, and there wasn't as many fishing trips. So with that, they had staff dedicated to the boat repairs, and without the fishing trips, then it was really difficult for them to continue to man the kiosk. So now that the boat work has been taken care of and they're going to be seeing a difference this year with the boat trips, they would like to continue with the proposed hours for the kiosk and man it as presented tonight. The third comment was an inequity to allow verges without requiring their percentage of gross. The verges sport fishing operation is allowed under the current master lease with the city. There is no provision in the master lease that requires the payment of percentage of gross because this is an old lease. When this lease is renegotiated with the Daguerreotypes, the city will switch to the new master lease format, and I am sure the city will switch and require the payment of the percentage of gross like it does with the other lease sites. Until then, this lease terms remain as is, as is done with the rest of the waterfront, all the older leases that have been there and new ones that come up. The fourth thing was that they cannot operate without impacts to parking and other items. As for the parking and other impacts, the kiosk in its of itself will not create a new parking demand or other impacts. I believe that the parking demand is associated with the boat operations, which has already undergone an environmental review and was approved by the city and the Coastal Commission approximately 5 years ago. I believe this ties into the above comment for the payment of services through the master lease, which will change in the future as well. In another letter, you were talking about the south access to Giovanni's. This particular access point is not a part of the proposed project. The appropriate coastal access signs are posted, as staff has noted, and I don't believe that there's a nexus to this project tonight to address this point. The other one was regarding the east access gates, proposed verges kiosk. The comment was people will line up directly in front of the kiosk on the sidewalk. There is a project condition number 3 that staff noted that requires the sidewalk to remain clear. The kiosk was designed with a double door on the south side with a shelf to encourage folks to come up to that side of it. As far as the window on the west side, the kiosk needs ventilation, so the window was placed on that side, and then that way then folks can walking down the sidewalk and see that somebody is also inside the kiosk. One of the other items that was noted was it seems to make far greater sense to require Verge's kiosk to be set back on the property and within the gates. So there's a couple comments on that. First, the kiosk is located on private property and is not on the city sidewalk. Second, there's no room to relocate the kiosk within the gated area except for removing parking spaces. The purpose of the kiosk is to make it available to visitors, and relocating it to any one of the three sites as suggested is not feasible. The northernmost location is the office for the fuel dock, and that needs to remain as is. There are truck deliveries in that area also that would interfere with the usage of the kiosk. The midsection of the site, as staff has also noted, that was conditioned by the Coastal Commission to be the public access and view area, so there would not be allowed under this permit to locate something on that area. The southern site is not within the property or lease boundaries and would require a new project to lease the area from the city and most likely result in removing parking from that lot that's on the south side of Giovanni's Fish Market. Another item came up is keep the gates open for more public-facing hours. This is private property, and the gates are open in the morning to allow folks to pass through. The gates are closed for security of the fishing gear and for public safety at night. I would like to add this is a working dock and that there are forklifts going back and forth as well as trucks when they're unloading boats and fishing-related operations. By requiring additional restrictions that make it difficult for fishing operations, you are losing the working waterfront that everyone is trying to preserve. Last, I would like to mention that this parking lot is a private parking lot. However, Giovanni does not chase visitors that are not going to his businesses out of the parking lot. Therefore, he's offering a public benefit. One of the other comments was on the north access to the Verges Stacks Gate. There's hours on the gate, and there is access through the gate, and staff has covered that, so I won't take any more time other than to say that our general plan recognizes a working waterfront and specifically gives fishing and working docks precedence, and the public viewing areas are supposed to be in suitable locations on the site. As far as the west access to the route to Giovanni's Verges Stack, the western route is confusing and dangerous for the average person. Again, this is a working waterfront, and the hoist, the fish boxes, the forklifts, and other equipment are necessities for these operations. And so that's one reason why the Coastal Commission has allowed the closure of the walkway when they're unloading boats and to be able to direct the traffic in the other direction. With that, that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any other questions you might have. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. Any other members of the public would like to speak? Step forward. Please state your name. And you'll have try to keep it within around 3 minutes.
Sure. Good evening, members of the commission. My name is Dustin Tardiff. I'm here on behalf of Patriot Sport Fishing, who couldn't be here today. We're objecting to agenda item B1 on several grounds that have already been addressed, I think, in significant part. A couple of them I just wanted to run past since they were already mentioned by staff. The staff report did say that it was frequently unmanned. It was identified here by Mr. Graham that it was never manned, and I think that's the truth. It was never actually manned during the temporary use that it was previously approved for. So the kiosk operated more as a as additional advertising for Verges, which is against the city's signage requirements. In addition, and this is also briefly touched upon, is that the temporary use permit was initially granted on the condition, this was summer of last year, on the condition that it would be removed by September. And it was mentioned that that took some time for a variety of reasons, but it wasn't until they got some pressure from the city, phone calls from other businesses, that they actually removed it. The most significant grounds for the objection today, though, is the fact that Verges Landing has never had to pay its share of the tax, which all the other waterfront businesses have to pay to support waterfront services. As I'm sure the commission is aware, and I know it's not the first time it's been brought up, all the businesses on the waterfront are required to pay a percentage of the rents of the revenue. I'm sorry, of the revenue that goes to the city. And that money goes to the Tidelands Trust, which pays for maintenance and administration and parking on the waterfront and other services like the Harbor Patrol, things like that. Verges is benefiting from all these services, yet is not having to pay for any of them. They already have a pretty clear economic advantage over other businesses, specifically their competitors, without having to pay any fair share of them. They're using Harbor Patrol, they're using parking, they're using the pumps, street lighting, restrooms, the same as all the other waterfront businesses are using, only they don't have to pay for them. And now, today, it's the Planning Commission is tentatively approving this. I think it's slipping through the cracks that Verges has proven unreliable in the past by not complying with pretty simple orders of the city in its temporary permit for the kiosk. And now we're going to give them a permanent place there, is going to give them an even bigger economic advantage over all of their competitors. I think both Giovanni's and Verges are long overdue in paying for the amenities and services that are provided by that Tidelands Trust, and giving them this kiosk now is going to give them additional marketing infrastructure and signage with the added burden on the waterfront without having to pay for any of it. And for those reasons, we're asking that the CUP be denied, or at the very least, the Planning Commission have Verges pay their fair share of the percentage rents to the Tidelands Trust, as the other businesses do. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, please.
Hi. I'm Sean Green from here in Morro Bay. I sent a letter with along with some photos about the proposed kiosk by Verges Landing, which in principle I support as I would for any business that wants to increase business and foot traffic along the waterfront. I do, however, object to the location and orientation. It doesn't really matter what a staff report says in terms of line location and direction. It really matters that there's a window and a sign and people are going to stop in front of that. The location as proposed is almost certainly going to be a pinch point that I would really object to as an everyday pedestrian through that area. I also want to mention that thank you guys for the your position on what seemed like a minor issue last meeting regarding the fence height on West Street. And I think that's a perfect example of something that really our only time to visit other issues on a certain parcel is when an applicant comes asking for something. In this case, they're asking for a temporary use permit and this kiosk, which it seems a little bit more permanent than temporary. And I think it's a great opportunity to address the access issues on the north, south, and west side of that parcel, which have been kind of described already. And if you guys walked the waterfront, you are very familiar with those same issues. So I don't need to get into the specifics there. I just think that this is a great opportunity to address all those other issues as mitigating circumstances for what I still would say is a generally approvable project. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next speaker, please. Anybody else? Please step forward at this time, or we'll close public comment. Okay. Kathy, would you mind stepping forward and maybe answer a couple questions? Okay.
Happy to.
Okay. Do we have any questions for the applicant? Michael, you want to get started?
I guess my only question is more speculative. This is something that has a precise plan that we looked at before. So it is something, even though it's private property, it's something we looked at in terms of locations and uses. Did you consider the idea of taking out a parking space somewhere to locate this rather than putting it out by the sidewalk?
We did, but I think it's going to be very difficult to try to do that. Part of the problem, too, is we have to be really careful because when Giovanni's unloading fish and he has the big semis coming through there, he has to actually close down the whole entire parking lot, not let anybody park in there so that he can get the semis to come in and make their turns going in and out of the parking lot. So it would be very difficult to, if we place something like that and it interferes with the commercial fishing operations, that would be tough. I know that the city's got the waiver on the parking right now, but I'm not sure how Coastal will feel, because Coastal was really adamant about making sure we had those parking spaces on the property. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's all I have.
Okay, Richard, do you have any questions for applicant? Joseph?
With respect to the kiosk, I imagine you could put up some stanchions around the decking area, which would go a long way to sort of controlling where the three or four or six people lined up so that they weren't on the sidewalk. Is that a possibility?
We have to be really careful about that because we want to make sure that we don't run afoul of any ADA widths as far as the sidewalk goes and going around. I suppose we could try to see if we could put some, like, a temporary pylon or something up to try to, keep people that way. I think we're open to suggestions. I don't think I see anything permanent going in the concrete, but maybe a temporary piling or something like that. But I know that the folks will, the applicant has heard that this could be a problem, so I know that they are going to tell their employees, make sure that you keep people off the sidewalk, because I know it is a little bit of a tight situation right down there.
I think I was just thinking of the typical things that are at movie theaters and amusement parks where you channel people where they stand and where they don't stand.
And I think maybe if we got a chance to see if this worked and if we did have problems, and I know that Scott addressed that too, if it does become a potential problem, we'll be in talking to the city, and that would be a good idea of a way to resolve it. I think that the expectation that there's going to be, a couple, three people that stop along the way, I don't think they expect that a group of like 15 people are going to come and stand right there and occupy the whole area.
Jesse?
I do have a few questions. So the hours of operation changed from proposed at 6 a.m. when the boats leave. They leave pretty early, right?
Yeah, 6, 7.
Right. So the 10 to 2 and 9 to 3 proposed hours, that's for sales of the next days?
Or it could be in the afternoon if they're running a whale watch or what they call a twilight trip or something like that. If it's like, you know, 11 o'clock in the morning and there's another boat going out at 3:30 in the afternoon, for example, they could be selling tickets for the afternoon boat.
But they should be selling tickets out of the Market Street.
They'll be doing both.
Okay. So the primary business location would be the Market Street location, and this would be an accessory sales, ticket sales?
Yes,
only?
And they'll be selling the fishing licenses up at the Market Street address, and they can't sell fishing licenses down at the kiosk because the new system that Fish and Wildlife has, it's all electronic. So they need to have the machines set up to issue fishing licenses. So if somebody comes down and says, I want to go out in the afternoon boat or I want to go out tomorrow's boat, they could sell them a ticket. And if the people say, well, I need to buy a fishing license, then they'll need to send them to the Market Street address to actually buy a fishing license up there.
So essentially, correct me if I'm wrong, it's all about visibility, just acquiring that visual stimuli and channeling people to your business.
Right. They've wanted an actual brick-and-mortar building down on the waterfront and have been trying for a number of years to try to find a spot to get back down there. So with the boats there, they're trying to do something in the meantime to get people so people walk by, they can answer questions, sell tickets, you know, let them know that Verge still exists, and then if they need directions to go buy the fishing license, you know, just go around the corner up here on Beach Street to the Market Street, and that's where the tackle shop is. If there was an opportunity for a building and a dock down on the waterfront right now that would house Verges, they would be down there in a minute.
Okay.
So,
I did have a couple more questions. I don't know. We don't see it too much in this community, but in the valley especially, you see folks with like sandwich boards, you know, folks twirling signs on the corner, like tax season or whatever. What would be the chances? What would be the impact if you just had like a table set up and maybe like a sandwich board type sign that you temporarily put up and take down every day? I mean, how would that make a difference?
That wouldn't be allowable under the city's sign ordinance. And you know, over the past several years, I know that several city councils have discussed the sign ordinance and pointedly said that they don't want sandwich signs and they don't want the twirling flags, and they don't want a lot of things. So that would be going basically against the grain of what the city councils have said over the past few years over the sign ordinance. I think if you want to get into more specific codes, you know, Scott would be able to help you out there. But I know that when dealing with staff on the temporary use permit, they were very concerned about the signage that we were putting on there and the limiting the size. So we've done everything to try to, you know, meet within the city's requirements for the sign ordinances.
Well, and that's kind of what I was getting to was the, would you be, okay, so hypothetically you put this kiosk down there, would you be willing to remove the sign during hours of non-operation?
Well, the sign's bolted on there, so it would be kind of difficult to, it's up along the eaves of the kiosk, so it would be kind of difficult to remove it down, you know, each time and put it right back up.
Right, but if we were to condition that, make that a condition, if that were made a condition, would that be something that they would be amenable to, or would that just decide not to do the kiosk at all?
The applicant said it would be really hard to do. I think
okay.
It would be, you know, that's...
I'm a little concerned with the off-site signage, you know, because your business is on Market, and, you know, you're proposing signage on front, so
well,
it does seem a little, well, anyway,
But there is the business
so
is down there, too.
Right, I digress.
Okay. Let's just keep this to questions. And so, Michael, did I give you guys a chance to question? Okay, sorry. Did Richard? Okay. Okay, Kathy, I've got a couple questions for you.
Sure.
You said that there's no location that could be set other than where it is on this site. I walked it today, and it seemed like there were other locations next to the the freezer. There is a location probably next to where the bait tanks are, stuff as such as that. Are you sure there is absolutely no location in that whole site?
What are you seeing where the tanks are is right on the east side of the tanks is right. Part of the lateral access. And then there's the parking right. spaces. And then the wharf that's next to the tanks going to the south, going toward the view deck, that is all part of the view deck that was conditioned by the Coastal Commission. So we do not, the Coastal Commission is not going to let us put a kiosk in that wharf viewing area because that has been approved as public access.
Okay, but there's so, also, okay, there's a location next to the observation deck. There, you know, next to the freezers where the kiosk could go would be out of the truck paths and stuff.
Are you talking about the freezer by the rear entrance door?
Yes.
That's part of the parking lot, and that's when the semis come in. They need, sometimes they'll queue up in that spot and they'll come in. I think the problem is trying to go in the parking lot and pushing it toward the westward is we're interfering with Giovanni's ability to run his wharf down there for the fishing industry. He's got totes, and when you have a big salmon season, sometimes that whole area will be just loaded with fish totes as they're unloading fish, and there's forklifts running back and forth. So they can't be going around a kiosk and having it placed in a way that's going to interfere with the wharf operations. And I think that's the biggest concern. So when we get to the west, we're going to have issues with that. We either the Coastal Commission or fishing operations.
Okay. Can you show on this, on the coastal, the CC, California Coastal Commission's approved set of plans, where it shows on the north end, where it shows the gates and the fence line?
It's not really on that plan because what happened was when we did that particular plan, it kind of cut off at the tail at the top end there. And
well, I see the property line, but I don't see any gate or fences along that line that are. Well, no, you're right. It did cut off. Do you have a set of plans that show that have been approved by the Coastal Commission that show a permanent gate at that north location?
No. What you have before you is the approved set of plans from the Coastal Commission. So what happened was originally the Coastal Commission was talking about not requiring the public access on the north side of the wharf there because it does say in our local coastal plan that if you have a commercial fishing operation and working dock, you don't have to put the lateral access in. After we got the permit issued, there was some questions with the interpretation of the Coastal Commission condition regarding that lateral access on the north end. Madeline Cavalieri from the Coastal Commission said, no, we require a 5-foot access back through there. So when we submitted the plans to the Coastal Commission for what they call the compliance review, Madeline actually drew that highlighted section, that 5-foot strip going to the north, and then her handwriting, what she pointed out on the plans, and she said, okay, we will accept it this way. So we have not touched the plan since the Coastal Commission approved it, so you have it as per what they did. So that's why it doesn't show the gate.
Okay, she also wrote on here, sign to be temporary, removable, and not in place when commercial fishery operations not occurring. She also wrote, that the access should link up to the sidewalk near the intersection of Beach Street and Embarcadero. Do you have anything from her or from the Coastal Commission that states that you have hours of operations that they approved that are different than dawn to dusk for that lateral access?
Just what was in the permit.
So what was in the permit?
Cindy had that information that she provided in her slide.
This is a paraphrasing, and then I have the CDP with me. I could read the whole condition if you're interested.
Do they have – how long is the condition? I should have had you send that to me. I'm sorry.
It's a paragraph.
Well, could you please read that?
Sure.
I think this is really, really important.
Sure. So it is condition 2B, and it says – okay, so you'll see how I paraphrased it here. The lateral access around the patio shall remain free of benches, planters, and other street furniture. In addition, and keep in mind this is covering the whole site, south to north. In addition, lateral access shall be established north of the existing patio area and shall extend through the project site. The lateral access through the commercial fishing area shall remain open for public use as much as possible, but may be closed during active fish unloading activities that render public lateral access dangerous. Public access closures shall be limited only to periods when active fish unloading activities prohibit safe public access, should be accomplished using temporary ropes, cones, or other appropriate barriers, and must include signs informing the public of the expected duration of the closure and directing the public to alternative public access through or around the site. All lateral public access ways shall remain free of unnecessary materials and structures, including portable storage structures and garbage bins that are not intended for use by the public, etc. End quote.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
If it helps, I spoke with Giovanni this afternoon about, you know, that particular issue and said, you know, I heard a little concern that the gate wasn't being opened, and he said that he wasn't aware of it. He thought his dock hands were taking care of opening the gate, and he was going to mention that they needed to make sure it's open when it's open, but if there's the unloading activities, then he has the ability to close that, so to keep people away from walking in front of forklifts and et cetera.
Okay. It sounds like, Kathy, and just from my listening to that paragraph, that it also sounds like any closure is supposed to be of a temporary structure and of a temporary nature, such as ropes, chains, or signs that are set up for solely the duration of active operations of fish loading and unloading and offloading time periods. So how do you justify a permanent gate there?
So we're talking about two separate locations. That one specifically with the temporary bollards was the idea was putting that right at the view deck, where the view deck and the north lateral access goes. That's where that was designed to put those bollards. We did have discussion about the gate and recognizing this is a dangerous site. And
okay Kathy, excuse me, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but all of the docks along the whole Embarcadero have a similar situation in front of, you know, in front of Tognazzini's over there on D Street. They're all actively have active loading and offloading in those areas, and they don't have gates closing off public access. So I know that you've stated that several times, but I'm asking you specifically, do you have anything from the Coastal Commission that says, either in drawings or in verbiage, that having a permanent gate on that north end at Beach Street is allowable?
I'm sure we've got something, or I could get back to the Coastal Commission for clarification, because there was a discussion of it, and I don't remember if staff had that discussion, because I think there might have been I know it was definitely prior to Scott's time, and I might have been a little bit right at the beginning, and Cindy wasn't involved, so I'm not expecting staff to have any historic knowledge on that, but there was discussion, and I would be happy to do it if I had known exactly that you were asking in advance for specific information about the gate. I would have taken time to go research it.
Okay.
I didn't understand that, so I'm not prepared to give you that information tonight, other than I know that it was acceptable, and with the city and the Coastal Commission, to have that gate there.
Okay. Okay, thanks. I appreciate that, sure. Kathy. Well, I think we can bring it. Any other questions for the applicant? Okay. We'll close public comment at this point and bring sure. it back to the commission. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Who wants to start for further questions or suggestions or comments?
I have
let's one. Have a discussion.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, go. I'm sorry.
So the one question. A lot of the issues seem to be revolving around the value of signage, whether it's on the kiosk or not, and the fair share of city fees being paid or not, and based on old leases, et cetera. So the one question I have is, when, if ever, does the activity on the site there by the water rise to the level, if at all, where the lessee now is subject to these fees? Meaning, clearly, if you only have an office on Market Street, certainly you're not, I guess, conducting business on the waterfront, even though you've got the boats there. But if you now set up a second office and you're selling and the like, does it ever, could it ever rise, or does it rise? And if it does, when does it rise to the point where you say, well, now you're conducting business on the waterfront, and those fees should also apply? And the fact that the old lease is in existence notwithstanding.
So the tenant in this situation, Burgess Landing, would be a subleasee of the DeGaramores. The DeGaramores have what is known as a Pipkin lease, which is a 50-year lease that will expire in 2018. There were a handful of leases along the waterfront. Our harbor director is a great historian on this. But all of these Pipkin leases, which are now all expiring this year, have it as a stipulation in their master lease agreement. And it is that master lease agreement that Patriot Sport Fishing, House of Juju, I mean, all of these, like, you know, Rose's Landing, all of these, they're all governed by their master lease agreement. In this situation where the DeGaramores are, they happen to have a Pipkin lease that doesn't establish, they pay no percent gross. Their lease will expire at the end of September. At that time, and Ms. Novak mentioned it in her comments, the city will be renegotiating with the master leaseholder, which in this situation is Mr. DeGaramore, and their lease will be converted over to a lease that where they have to pay a percentage of gross. He will likely pass that down to all of his subtenants. So if the coffee pot is a subtenant of him, and I don't know if it is offhand, it gets passed down just like, you know, any other subtenant. And I, oh, yeah, you're right. Sorry. Okay. I kind of misspoke here. But essentially, I don't know, maybe you want to take it over before I muddle it too much further.
So no, Cindy was, that was a good description. So the land side of this is not a lease. Where the kiosk is going is not a lease. That's private property. So it will never be subject to any sort of lease the city has on based on percent gross, period. The water side, though, and the docks could be after September. We'll be negotiating with Mr. DeGaramore, and that'll likely, because that is the format of the current leases that we have, go to percent gross. And that'll play out however it does, because that's not the subject. That's not subject to the scrutiny or decision making of this board. That is entirely because it involves leases and money and those types of things. Is entirely between the Mr. DeGaramore, the City Council, and the Harbor Department. That helps.
Okay.
Anything else? That answers my question. I mean, nothing.
Okay. Look, Michael, what do you got? Any comments or questions?
Well, I'll avoid my side note. I was going to say, I just think this is one of the most fascinating things we have. This is a real waterfront. You know, this isn't fake pilings. This is real pilings. This is stuff coming out of the sea, and people want to get on both. So I'm a person who goes to both of these establishments that the DeGaramores have, and I love what goes on there. It's amazing to me, though, if somebody came up here to us and said, St. Tim's wants to put a kiosk in front of the church in Manatee, I'd say no way. You know, if the
business community wanted to put a kiosk, you know, in front of a space down on the Embarcadero, I'd say no. So the first thing out of my head is, I don't think it's an attractive thing. I don't think it's the right place to put the thing. I don't think it helps us very much. Does it help them? I think there's a problem. I think this kiosk helps them. They don't have a building. They've got boats and no presence on the waterfront, except till you get off the side of the bulkhead. So I think that's the problem. We're not a design group to come up with solutions, except we look at solutions when they come forward. So I think it's a great idea. I just don't think this is the right place for it, and I think it establishes a dangerous precedent for seeing other secondary, tertiary structures pop up in other places that we don't want to have. And this is our pride and joy on the waterfront. I wish there was a way we could get something in that zone where the parking is, between the parking and the walkway, and that's where it belongs, where the boats are. Yeah, I'm concerned people aren't going to know, why is this here? Is it to identify that the parking lot's exclusively for Verge's Landing and give the impression that it's not for the other business? I don't know. I think there's a lot of questions that opens up that are unfortunate. So my tendency is to think it's an authentic need, but I'm not sure I like the solution.
Okay, Richard.
Scott, you said that that with the way you described it, okay, the waterfront, they get a percentage, right? If you have like the boats, like
yes. So our leases on our city's lease sites, oftentimes are land and water, right?
Right.
And this is very unique. It's right. Not land and water, just water.
Right.
But yes, we would have the newer lease formats that we have usually go into the percent gross component. This is an old, as Cindy said, Pipkin lease, 50
right.
years old, doesn't have that language in it.
Right.
But now those are all converting because they're all coming up right now, and we're all going down that road. And Eric's, you know, scrambling around down there. Eric Endersby and the harbor director down in the harbor department to put together those leases and running them through council and getting authorization for those types of things, and keeps him very busy.
Yeah. Now, but the boats, like whale watching and all that, right? That's harbor matter. It's, you know, you got your decks. So this kiosk, although it's on private property, it's there to sell operations that are waterfront related, right? So kind of by proxy, right, it would be considered a waterfront kind of business, no?
How Harbor deals with this and how the City Council deals with this is not the subject of debate this evening.
All right.
Okay. I mean, that's I'll say above mine and our pay grade. We don't get to make those decisions. Those are made by the City Council and then put in place and implemented through our Harbor Department.
Fair enough. Okay.
Uses though, and where we put them, is directly in your wheelhouse, and that's why we're here this evening.
Okay. my feelings are. It's kind of twofold. First of all, I've said this before. What we do up here, all the codes and all the zoning and all this, and what it boils down to is public health and safety. I think this location creates a public health and safety hazard. Okay, especially when you're going to have it manned. And I think that, you know, I've been down on my bicycle there during the weekend, and that area is, I wish the walkway was wider as it was, okay? Secondly, it could be viewed by others that it'd be like that we're subsidizing a particular business that's not even on the waterfront by allowing something like this. One can argue. And I feel that my main feeling on this is that if allowed, it's got to be in a different location, because I feel this is, it creates a public hazard. That's my feelings on it.
Okay, Scott, is there a minimum size on standalone buildings, and what's the requirement as far as?
No. It's temporary. Okay. If it were permanent, we might be having another conversation. But because it's temporary, we don't have the limitations.
Okay. And then what happens if Verge's finds a new, you know, a new location? And I hope they do. what happens to this structure and this use?
Well, it would become unnecessary.
Right, but could it be transferred over to sell T-shirts?
They could request that, I suppose. I'd bring it back to the Planning Commission with a recommendation probably for denial. It's not appropriate. You know, this use, what they're proposing is associated with their business, which is their boats, which are on the water, which is on a lease site right across from this. So at least it's within the realm of, hey, this is associated with what they're doing. I don't know that selling T-shirts is associated with what they're doing. They have a storefront for that, and that would seem to be the appropriate location for that.
So if they started selling fishing licenses out of there, you know, from, you know, and had a mobile uplink or something, you know, and they had an alternate location, but they wanted to keep this as a for more advertising, would this still be?
I would say that it's probably time to pull the plug on it.
Okay, but
I think they came here for a specific use. Okay, they didn't come here to sell stuff out of there, other than tickets for their business. Okay. Their business is right there, so it's associated with that. It basically, you know, it essentially provides them a presence other than where their storefront is. If you don't like that, then don't approve it. It's certainly within the realm. We don't have other ones like this. It's why we had them go through the temporary use permit process. Unfortunately, they didn't use it, so we don't really have any data to give you about how it functions. I think, you know, it's if they had the issue that Commissioner Sadowski raised, then I'd be back here with it in front of you saying they're not operating it the way they should be, and they're creating a problem. So I don't have as much of a concern. I do understand the concern that Commissioner Sadowski raised, because it was my concern when we came through the temporary use permit process that we took them through. And I said, you know, this is kind of your ability to see how it works, and they didn't really use it, so we didn't get to see how it functions. And I didn't really have the ability to continue on giving them TUPs because my authority in that realm is limited. So they're here before you. Again, the same issue would be if they're we tell them what the expected outcome is there, that they're not supposed to have their folks blocking the sidewalk. If they are, then they're violating their conditional use permit, and we come back here and have a conversation about what that means. It's a pretty simple solve, and one that we would see immediately, and me personally, because I drive by there every day on my way out to the Rock to get my lunch. And so I actually pay quite a bit of attention to this lease site overall, just because for a while when I first started working here, the lateral access was closed. It wasn't open. And so myself, Cindy, worked with Mr. DeGaremore to get it back open. He was very easy to work with, and he even came up with the idea about painting the striping on the ground. He was like, yeah, let's paint it on the ground so we know where it's at, and my folks keep their stuff off of it when it's open. So he's always been, you know, from the moment we engaged him, was always very willing to work with us, and he put that stuff in almost immediately. So on that side of things, he's been pretty good to deal with. And I've also noticed over time when he's had it closed, they had stuff they were unloading, or they were waiting for the trucks to get there to load them, for the most part. So I think they've mostly held to that part of it. I can't speak to when they open it in the morning. I don't usually drive by there first thing in the morning like you do. So
yeah, I'm by there almost every morning, yeah. You know, around 8 o'clock, and or thereabouts, and it's never open. You know, and
Maybe just something we bring back to their attention to have them work on. I said Mr. DeGaremore has been more than easy to work with on that.
Okay.
So happy to engage.
So let me ask, can we address the access and the operability of the access points regarding this proposal before us right now? Is that something that's appropriate to discuss?
We're amending an application that included those permits, so yeah, you can talk about it.
Okay. So what I see here, just a second, let me. I see like three major issues that I see is the operation and the appropriateness of the access and the compliance of the access to the coastal permit plan that they have existing. I see the aesthetics of the kiosk and its design that we have purview because it's a precise plan. And then I also see the whether we should place it, whether it should be allowed in the place that they say it is, and whether it should be allowed at all as a secondary use on this site. So I see those three main issues that we should discuss and solve or give our opinion on. Scott, do you see are those all viable issues?
So they're all viable issues. I've been on the site when they're unloading fish in that location, and all the stuff they have going on there. I mean, that thing absolutely needs to be closed when they're doing that. That's dangerous. It's so tightly confined when they're whipping things around. I mean, with the forklift and stuff, I was just like, yikes.
I'm not stating, and I have no, you know, I'm a firm believer in the working waterfront, and I'm a firm believer that I would like to see, you know, verges, you know, continue and be a viable operation. I think they're a real benefit for Morro Bay. So there's no, you know, don't get me wrong, but I also am a firm believer that we've had trouble with lateral access before, and I want to maintain that that's one of the most, you know, most approachable, and it's one of the most saleable elements of this city, is to have that access along the waterfront. That's what makes Morro Bay unique. And if there is any operation going on at all, they have the right and they have the duty to close that whole area for everybody's safety, and so that they can keep their offloading operations going at the highest efficiency. I have no problem with that at all, as long as it's temporary and it's, you know, and the access is allowable to the community from any time, from dawn to dusk, just like the rest of the waterfront and just like the rest of the operators on the waterfront. That's all I'm looking for is, you know, I'm on my speech now, my comments. All I'm looking for is fairness across the entire Embarcadero. And that's where I would like to see. So,
we do have potential language for a condition. Cindy put that together, adding on to Coastal's condition that would add that dawn till dusk language that you just referenced.
Okay,
we did put that together, so she even has it there for you.
Oh, great.
So,
okay. So let me poll the commission here on their feelings on that. Okay, I'm sorry.
Sorry. I had a couple things I wanted to say here. So first of all, I support the fact that it's on private property, and I support the fact that they want to put it in. I'm all about all of it except the signs. So the signs are what bother me. The signs are, I agree with just about everybody's comments that it's giving an unfair advantage. I'm not against the signs being there during the time it's manned, but I am against the signs being up during the times it's not manned. So that's my short and sweet.
Okay.
The lateral access thing, I don't know that they're that they have an entire amount of control over it. It sounds like there's a lot of people kind of stirring that pot, so there might not be. I mean, we could put the condition in, but it might not be up to Verges to
It's not Verges. We're amending the CUP for the Garamos.
Right. Okay. So anyway, that's my 2 cents.
Okay, my understanding. So it's on the site, and that's what we're looking at. It's not up to Verges to do this, to require access.
And that's a very good point. We do typically, when we have these lease sites come up, and the Planning Commission is traditionally asked us to do this, we go through this process of evaluating what was approved there to make sure that they're in compliance. So that's part of the discussion that you're having this evening is it in compliance? Is it or is it? You know, and that's fair. And lateral access is an important component of what we have down there. So,
Joseph, where do you stand on the access?
Well, let me sort of run. I've sort of organized my thoughts, and so
okay.
I think we'll get to that. Let's see. I'll preface it by saying that I like to think of myself as encouraging authentic fishing in the boating industry in Morro Bay. And this is a rare example where not only in theory are we encouraging it, but from a practical standpoint, we can do a little something to maybe make Verges Landing a little more successful. With respect to safety, I have a feeling that with some minimal attention to stanchions and ropes and the like that you can direct the few people that are standing in front of this to do it in some sort of a safe fashion that doesn't block the sidewalk. I'm much pleased that what was presented as a kind of an economic inequality will in all likelihood be resolved in the near future when they balance things out with a new lease. with respect to the aesthetics, I'm not in love with the little kiosk, but I'm also reminded of, you know, when you look at what's going on there in terms of fishing, in a sense, none of that stuff with the heavy equipment and all that is very aesthetic, and but I like it. And so I'd like to sort of, I come down on the side of, you know, encouraging them to fish, and I'll sacrifice a little bit of the overall aesthetics of the area. But the final notion is, and I'm getting to the access areas, with respect to the kiosks not being manned and the kiosks not being timely removed from the premises on the original temporary permit, it strikes me that among the various reasons, these temporary permits are granted as kind of a test to see what the unintended consequences are and then to make some adjustments going forward. And so there were some unintended consequences spread over the last permit, namely that the kiosk was not manned as was expected, and it was not moved off the premises as was expected. So, I don't think we should grant a permanent permit when the temporary one wasn't exactly observed. And I'd like to suggest that, you know, once again, we make this another trial period to see exactly what the unintended consequences would be. Is, in fact, it manned? Is it, in fact, moved appropriately? Is it, in fact, operated in such a way that it's not an obstacle to the pedestrians on the sidewalk? Those are my thoughts.
Okay. What about the lateral access and the access points Beach Street and on the southern side around?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Good point. I forgot that. And since there is, I wouldn't call it evidence, but there's some differences of opinions as to how accurately the Coastal Commission's directions have been observed, and that seems to indicate even more strongly that this should be a temporary permit, again, to see if, in fact, now that we've made our feelings explicit, whether going forward for the next 6 months, there's a better sense that access is maintained properly.
Okay. Michael?
I guess my prejudice would be to continue it and come back with a different solution based on access and things like that. But my sense is the access is critical. That's one of those odd places where if you fork why the people around the other side of the coffee pot out to the, that's a pretty dead zone along mm-hmm. there. And we want people along the waterfront. And it would be to Mr. DeGuermoor's benefit to have those people linked across his two properties and then proceed down the waterfront again. So my sense is it's kind of a, this is leveraging, is there another solution? And I don't know. I mean, I walk down there a lot, and I know that's a very bizarre no man's land in there, but I wish there was another solution. I just don't like drawing people away from the waterfront out to that street. I think it's a mistake.
Okay. Richard, concerning the access? North and south.
I think that to me, when I look at the access, I look at not only the lateral access, but the traffic, the pedestrian traffic on the sidewalk, and I feel that the Coastal Commission was pretty clear as far as to me it appears pretty clear as far as wanting the lateral access was a very important thing, and I want to bring it back to the location of the kiosk. The location. If that can be moved in and a parking space taken up or whatever moved in, that would make it a lot safer. I just don't I really feel that the key issue, and I respectfully disagree with you, that's creating a public health and safety hazard, and I think it's I think there's a better solution.
Okay. On for the public access, if anybody has any doubts, for me, I think the gate should either be removed or should be open from dawn to dusk. The southern access too is awfully confined. They have existing bollards out there and chain and rope lines, and I'm not even sure if it's all on their property. I'm thinking, you know, there was one that extended out into the sidewalk by the city fish docks there, and it almost seemed like it was probably could have been off their property, and I didn't see any survey stakes, so I don't know. So, but what they're doing is they're bifurcating the access there to try to if you're walking up from the southern side, you have a hard time seeing that there's actually a pathway around the western side. If there's nobody there at all when they're not even open serving fish, they have actually bifurcated the sidewalk and the access there to half of it by having a chain and poles in that required access for the pedestrian access to that side. Cindy, do you have any photos of that?
I will look. If I could point out, so I started in planning right around the time that this precise plan was approved.
Yeah.
And I was involved as the planner when the project went through its final inspection. So I had a review. Although I didn't present the staff report for the precise plan, I had to review a lot of that detail. And my strong recollection is that the reason it is bifurcated there is because as you're approaching from the southern access, Planning Commission in 2012, and applicant's agent can correct me if I'm wrong, wanted to make sure that it was clear that you didn't need to buy food at Geo's Market because their walk-up window was there. And so the ropes and the bollards bifurcated that area, and then here you see the access signs. So that it would direct people to walk out to the patio with your bag lunch. You could sit in that patio. So, sorry, that was a long.
No, it.
I just wanted to kind of give that.
It doesn't seem to. Yeah, it doesn't seem to work.
Fair enough. I'm just giving you some.
Yeah.
History information.
Right.
I'm sorry. What was the original question?
So the original question is, you know, they didn't have those, you know, I'm calling them bollards, but they're basically poles with chain on them.
Uh-huh.
I didn't see those anywhere on the plans, on the approved plans. So to me, it almost seems like they were added more for the business's sake than for the public's sake. And it actually even seemed like one of them was set out in the city property.
I think he's talking about
Giovanni's
queue at their walk-up window.
Yeah, they get pretty busy, and so right. It may have evolved over time that those bollards or those ropes have gotten longer and longer. I've seen what the line looks like on Free Fish Taco Day.
And they do a great business, and it's fabulous, you know.
It does not. The plans that were approved don't. Didn't provide that level of detail on that bifurcation and where that would go.
Okay. So let's talk about the should this kiosk be located there at all? I think that's probably the big question. I would almost, you know, I think Joseph might have had a suggestion that maybe we give it another temporary permit, if that's at all possible, that we continue this, have them come back for another season, and having it manned to see if
if it works and what problems come up before we go for a permanent solution. It almost seems like that might be another run at it.
A conditional use permit has that mechanism built into it. It can always be re-reviewed. You can just say, bring it back. Bring it back in 6 months. Bring it back in a year. The applicant is actually in agreement with bringing it back in a year, if you'd like, to have it reviewed. And it can be brought back sooner at staff's behest if there's issues that we're unable to resolve with the applicant, you know, while we're going through that process. I mean, that's what conditional use permits are sort of meant to do. You know, they're not principally permitted uses because there's something special about them, and we want to make sure they're functioning correctly. So having a review of them in whenever you want, 6 months, a year, is perfectly appropriate.
Okay. Let's talk about the existing location or the proposed location of where it is. Michael, do you want to chime in on that specifically?
I don't like it, and I think it's dangerous. The notes or the legacy of this conversation would suggest that we're not thrilled with it, I would think, and that if they're going to be renegotiating a lease, I would say we don't want anything in the record that suggests that this is something we want to continue, or at least I don't. They've got to figure out what to do with that whole parcel in such a way that some of these issues are better resolved. And you know, so I would be willing, if it's coming up for lease, to do something to consider an extension till the end of this lease term. But I don't want to give anything on the record to suggest that we're thinking that small kiosks popped wherever there's 5 square feet of space is a good idea. I think these look like the Sears sheds that people put in their $1.5 million house as soon as they buy it. And it just says, what do you do now? You know, I don't like it as a precedent. But I don't want to, I also understand it's a special business, a legacy business, and a, you know, a unique site. So I'm willing to listen to my colleagues.
Richard?
Yeah, I think that a better location hasn't been properly explored yet on that site. So enough said.
Joseph, you want a specifically location?
Yeah, I think I would agree with my fellow commissioners. In some sense, this is a pretty unique situation in that there is a water-oriented business and they're trying. But on the other hand, I could imagine a situation where people want to put these kiosks up because they're convenient storage things, and that's really going to bother me. So, again, as I said before, I like the temporary permit aspect because we get to really test everybody's responsibilities in the matter. And probably a year is kind of the appropriate time to, you know, to see the various seasons play out.
Jesse?
Scott, correct me if I'm wrong here. This would be a permissible by right use if the signs weren't an issue?
No, I mean, it's a use that requires you to go through this process that we're in right now. Okay. It's not something that's in there that, you know, that's even envisioned by the code because our code's so old. And it's unique. I mean, this is not, I mean, the reason you haven't seen them is because we don't have the need, the desire, the want for these types of things. I mean, I certainly appreciate the concern of the commission about setting precedent about these things, but I think you have to come and have a pretty good argument for it to be viable at all. And so I would be less concerned about that because I think the Planning Commission does a very good job of weighing through things like this. You guys always debate these things, have a good conversation about them, and I don't think you treat things like, oh, that sets a precedent, so we automatically have to say yes. I've been here for 4 years. You've never said that. You've actually said the exact opposite whenever these issues come up. So I'm less concerned about that maybe than you are, or that you don't want to put that forward. I can understand that as well.
Okay so my thought on the location is it's private property. I want to be pro-business here. I really don't think there's going to be 75 people standing at that kiosk waiting to buy tickets, so I think it's an end around the off-site signage. So
let me offer a compromise here and see if how the commission feels on this. And Scott, you know, basically what I would like to see as far as location, I would like to see it just inside the fence. You know, that's going to solve a lot of the signage problem. It's going to solve, they'll still have access when that gate onto the Embarcadero is open. They could even take up that one parking spot next to the gate. And I think that would be the optimal unless they can find a better spot on site, that could be an optimal location for it. And it would get, you know, how is there parking there? Can we allow the temporary use of 1 year on a temporary use of the structure to take over a parking spot?
It could certainly be written into our permit. I don't know what's going to happen when they go to Coastal. I think that's probably fair. At that point, they can come back. The issue, though, becomes I actually need to take that item back to council coming up here in June to continue that forward. So if you continue it a year down the road and said, oh, okay, now you have to figure out what you're going to do, and then the requirement is that they have to pay for that space, it may not – right now it's – essentially free. Moving it forward, it might be $15,000 or it might be some other number, so I don't know. That's what the number was before we put the sort of pause in place.
Well, I think a year would be an adequate amount of time for them to find a better solution on site too. And when is the lease going to be up again for renewal?
September 30th. This year.
Of this
I'm
year.
Sorry. Yeah, 2018. It's happening. I mean, they're okay. Probably. I assume they're. If they're not having conversations right now, they're going to start very quickly. I would imagine they're already talking.
I would not like to see it outside the fence. So that's kind of where I sit on that. So do we have kind of agreement on that? Do we want to?
Let's start with that. So if you're comfortable with – are all of you comfortable with it inside the fence? And so do you want to see it back where they're going to put it, or do you want to condition it to have us deal with it, and then we'll bring it back in a year so you can see how it functions? I mean
– and as a temporary thing, I would trust some judgment. Okay. But if we enter into a long-term lease with somebody and it all of a sudden becomes by default part of a precise plan that it doesn't get challenged or ever reviewed – I think there's a lot of...
That's not how the leases work. They usually just recognize uses. Hey, these are the potential uses you could have in there. Oftentimes, they require you to come through our use permit process, if that's what our code says. So, I mean, that's less of an issue from the lease side.
I want to get some clarity here.
Okay.
Okay, Scott, so what you're asking is say, okay, we moved the thing on a space there. These guys go in and they do their negotiations and da da da, and we have a year to try this thing out, right?
Yeah, we're dealing specifically with the use. We're going to issue a conditional use permit to be reviewed in a year. If it's not working, then you yank the CUP and it's done. We'll notice it like anything else, and you'll have the opportunity to do that if it's not working.
Okay. And then as far as like the design, well, we were looking at design and use and all that stuff. We leave in your hands, correct?
Well, unless there's changes you want made to it's basically like a tough shed. I mean, if there's changes, you don't like the color, you don't like the way that it looks, then let us know, and we can have them make changes to it if you want.
Okay.
If we're moving it inside, does that alleviate the sign issue that you had? Or, I mean, they made a comment that it's difficult to remove the sign. It's not. You can put it on hooks and hang it there. I mean, it's not a huge sign. It's small. So it just kind of depends on where you want to go with those types of things.
Okay,
I would want input on all of those, though, before we leave here, if we're going to do something with it as far as permitting goes.
Okay, so let's talk about aesthetics.
Okay.
On it.
Richard? Okay. I'd like to see it if it was going to be. I wouldn't mind seeing it kind of galvanized, a galvanized kind of look to it, more industrial.
Michael.
Yeah, I think it's the only fishing house aesthetic that's in that parking lot. Almost everything else, I think, looks totally different, and in my aesthetic judgment would probably look better too. So I don't know. I understand the problem. If it's inside the fence, I'm less concerned about it for a short duration permit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Personally, I'll catch it going by here. I don't think 3-tab asphalt shingles are appropriate down on the Embarcadero. So they're not an industrial use. I'd be comfortable with the galvanized roof, the rest of it. The rest of it's fine, especially if it's inside. you know, inside the fence. Jesse?
To be completely frank, I really don't care where it goes. As long as it's on their property, it doesn't really matter to me. The aesthetics seemed fine enough. I don't see a real incompatibility. To be really honest, when I used to walk by it every day last year, I kind of just blended in, and I didn't really realize it was there. And like I said, I just don't like the idea of giving an unfair advantage to Verges by letting them have the signs. That's my only problem with this whole thing. So.
Richard?
Again, I'm not in love with this little tough shed look, but I'm reluctant to impose, you know, significant expenses, I guess, on the applicant to in some way modify. And if it's only for a year, I would find that acceptable. But I would want to make it clear that material in our evaluation in a year, again, is that it has been manned as was originally suggested and removed from the premises, and also that all the other obligations, certainly with respect to that access gate to the north, have been fully observed in a responsible fashion.
Okay, I think I'll open it up for public comment and to the applicant specifically and see how you're feeling at this point.
Okay, so as far as location, let me just say that we had a difficult time when we were doing the parking lot. The ADA place that you see right inside the gate where you'd like to have the kiosk moved was...
It could go on the other side. The parking lot on the parking spot would be... The ADA spot is to...
The south.
The south. There's a parking spot up against the fence to the north. So it could actually go in that parking spot.
If you're talking about in this little section right here, it would probably interfere with trucks, unless you want to try it. Unless you're talking... Okay, so I'll just give you a couple...
Behind the fence, right there.
It still would be a problem with the trucks going out that north gate. So let me just offer what I know right off on the top of my head.
Okay.
And it may be one of those things where... If we had to have a little leeway with you, because some of this we're going to have to discuss with Giovanni on
right.
his operations. So the problem with the ADA place was that when we were dealing with the building department, when we were permitting stacks and the docks and everywhere else, it was very difficult to try to have everybody come to resolution where to put the ADA space. So it is where it is, and I don't think that we would be able to change the ADA place from where the location is at right now, because it has to serve Giovanni's Fish Market, the coffee pot, stacks, and the docks. So at the time, that's what the building department told us. That's where they told us when we moved. So I'm afraid to touch that space.
Well, I mean, there's not an accessible path of travel to any of those businesses currently.
Yeah.
Well, we had to do – so it was almost impossible for us to come up with an ADA place on that site that would give safe path of travel. So at the time that the building inspector said he considered, since it was right there next to the gate and the sidewalk, that the sidewalk would become the ADA accessible path of travel. It was a nightmare, believe me. And so we left it basically up to the building department of the city, tell us where you want this. Everybody found that an acceptable place, and so I'm afraid to touch it because that's where it was.
Okay, Kathy.
So the north gate.
Okay. Just a second. Let me interject. I'm sorry. It seems like there's two viable options, either up against the coffee pot, up against the fence, inside the fence, or up against stacks, up against the fence on where the boat is. You know, inside between the boat and the fence on that plant. So those are just a couple of options. If you can find a better option, I think you can, you know, come forward to us with a better option. I think that would...
I was going to throw one more out there.
Yeah.
Is you could actually change the configuration of the edge of the fence and take it out more to the property line and still maintain your entrance to the parking lot. But then you would have the thing inside the fence line instead of out toward the street.
Okay, so I'm not quite following exactly the location that you're talking about doing that.
Well, if you pretty much consider approximately where it is now, take part of the fence and wrap it to the outside of the structure instead of where the fence line is now on the parking lot side of the structure. You might have to rotate it around, but the orientation would be toward the cars that are in the parking lot instead of toward the exterior and the street. So it feels like it's more part of the parking waterfront side than it is on the sidewalk side.
I think that would probably defeat some of the purpose of having people recognize that it's there if they can't see the front of the kiosk, that there's somebody in there that they can, and it's information, it's going to, and they see the back side of a building, it's not going to have any kind of friendly.
Well, Kathy, I don't think you're going to get it outside the fence.
Okay, so I need to talk to Giovanni about this, but
right.
You know, we do have some constraints. We've got the property line, the gate, I believe, is on the property line right now, so we couldn't change the gate location. So just things that I know off the top of my head, you might not like what I'm telling you.
Well,
I totally
fine.
Understand
no.
that, but I just need to make sure that I share what I know. The parking space that's next to Stacks is dedicated for Stacks, so we would have to make sure that it would be okay to rededicate a parking space for Stacks someplace else that would be acceptable. That was driven by the city. And the north gate area, I understand it would be difficult for trucks going in and out that if it was on between the north gate and the south gate.
Okay.
So with that said, that's
okay.
I think
and then the other question was the access north and south along the western side. What are your responses to that?
I'm sure if I go to Giovanni and ask him if he can open up the gate a little earlier and do the dawn to dusk, I don't see any problems off the top of my head. The one comment about the south side in the bollards or the little whatever you want to call it, little chain that's for the delineating the public for the fish market takeout. We came back to the Planning Commission after the Coastal Commission approvals. So when the Planning Commission wanted that would have been done after a coastal, so you wouldn't see that on the coastal permit.
Okay.
And I recollect what Cindy had told you, if the Planning Commission wanted in some way to divide it up so that the sidewalk was clear if people could go around. I could suggest that that corner, if for coastal access, you know, we could probably put another coastal access sign on the corner there that says, you know, coastal access this way. If that was really the problem of trying to make sure that people knew that there was an access behind there, I mean, that would be simple to put another sign up.
Okay, great. I think those are the major. Thank you, Kathy. So, I'm sorry, Kathy. We usually give this option, you know, door A and door B. It looks like we're either going to be a continuance or a denial. Which way would you like to go?
You want to take time to talk to Gio?
Yes, please step forward.
I'm Denise DeCock, one of the owners of Virgil's Landing. We're trying to get the kiosk down on the waterfront because I've owned the business 4 years, and for 4 years we've been trying to get a building down there. Obviously, Measure D's played a big part. The parking has played a big part. I have spoken to everybody from Associated Pacific all the way down to George League. I even asked Bob Fowler if he would rent space to me, and he wouldn't rent space to me either. So because Verges is it's a water-based business, just like the kayak places, the yachts, these are businesses that operate on the water. And me being all the way back on Market Avenue, people don't even know where we are. If there are tourists coming into town that don't know about Verges, they don't know where we are. And with our boats parked down at Giovanni's, there's no way for people to know that those are sport fishing boats because we have no other signage. There's no way for people to find us. If I once again, the site south of the T-Pier, we're gung-ho. I will develop that in a heartbeat if it ever becomes available to us again. I'm just trying to run my business to the best of my ability and have a presence down on the waterfront where I perform my business. We had serious issues with one of our boats got decommissioned last year, which was the main reason why we had nobody in the kiosk. I only had two boats running. I couldn't generate any more business because my boats were running 7 days a week as it was. I don't have any nefarious ulterior motives or anything. I just need a kiosk where we can say to our customers in the morning at 5 o'clock when they're still half asleep, go down Beach Street, when you get down to the bottom, look for the little Verge's kiosk. The boats are parked behind there because there's no signage. We have people constantly getting lost, not able to find our boats. That is why we need the kiosk. We had issues with the temporary permit, obviously, and, you know, obviously that's come back to bite me a little bit. Those were extenuating circumstances. But we have every intention of having somebody in that kiosk this year. We're not going to be doing any retail sales. We're going to be directing people, telling them about sport fishing. We're actually going to be, I'm going to actually be advertising Kevin's Whale Watching Business as well. But I need somewhere where we can direct them up to the shop if they want to go and get a rental rod, if they want to go and get a fishing license, if they need fishing tackle. We need somebody to tell them where to go.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
And please, if there are any other questions, I mean, I'm more than happy to answer them. If you have any other possible solutions, we're open to hearing them. We're just trying to operate on the water.
Would you be, is it viable to have the kiosk inside the fence? That's all we're asking is I just think it's asking too much to have the kiosk, a permanent solution, a permanency, you know, conditional use permit, have it outside the fence. So if it's inside the fence, would that still serve your purpose? And however it locates, you know, your designer and
well, the reality is we're trying to catch the tourist traffic walking by. So if our kiosk is stuck right in the back corner of some parking lot, well, what's the point of having it there, really, at the end of the day? I will tell you, all of you have obviously walked past it, there's enough room. There are bollards next to where the kiosk was. There's enough of a gap to have the disabled ramp going up to the Dutch door. There's never going to be a crowd. There is never going to be a line of people lining up to buy tickets. If they're buying tickets, they're up at the store on Market Avenue. Well, they're not going to be buying tickets there. So what we're going to have is we're going to have the tourists, you know, Mr. and Mrs. walking down the street looking for something to do. Oh, look, sport fishing. Okay, let's find out about it. That is what the kiosk is going to be there for. This business has been here since 1954. I probably bring 40 to 50,000 people at least a year into the city of Morro Bay. And I do believe that having a presence down on the waterfront definitely impacts my business in a positive way. And obviously my competitor is one of the few people objecting, but they already have that presence down on the water. They've got the signage, they've got the docks, they've got the retail, they've got everything down on the water. Me, as a boat business, I have nothing down there. And that's why I'm trying to get the kiosk.
Okay. All right.
I have a question. So signage seems to be the issue. So if the commission were or able to consider an off-site sign there in lieu of the kiosk, could you put a podium and an umbrella, somebody standing there, you know, temporarily move that every day and every night? Just would the sign suffice? Do we need the kiosk?
Well, numerous uses here too. The fishing rods that break on the boat, the deckhands are going to be using the kiosk to drop those off so my repair guy can pick them up in the morning as well, because most of my shop staff aren't there at 5 o'clock in the morning when they're loading the boats. So, we were going to use it for that reason as well, because obviously I have no building down close to the boat where we can, you know, store those, the fishing rods and that we rent out.
Okay, any other questions for the applicant? Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. This was just for the applicant, I'm sorry. We had questions for applicants. Closing public comment again. Where do we want to go with this, guys? You know, I think if we can do a temporary use permit,
you know, or if, you know, it, Scott, it's, help it, us out.
It's the you want to issue the conditional use permit. You can have time limits on it. That's what it's for. It's not a temporary use permit. It's a conditional use permit. You can place time limits on it. You can bring it back. You can place conditions on it like you can anything else. So if you're able to work something out, great. If you want to continue it and have him, and have, and bring, have them bring back something else because you want to see where it's going to be or something, that's fine too. Most of the things, you know, with the lateral access, we can, you know, we can deal with that. We can deal with it. We have a condition for you. We showed you that related to the dawn till dusk thing. We might actually do a little bit of homework. I was thinking we might talk to the Coastal Commission about what their records show as far as approval, because that gate's been there predates the last permit that we issued. I'm pretty sure they know it's there. I don't think anybody's hiding the ball there. But certainly wouldn't hurt to touch base with them and ask them about it. So especially since they're going to be seeing it, so they're going to be wonder what that whole conversation's about anyway.
Okay.
So yeah, it kind of depends. If you're happy with us just working with them on finding some place behind the gate that works, we can do that.
Okay.
It's up to you.
Okay. I'm happy enough if we get a dawn to dusk lateral access, and except for periods of offloading activity where they can close everything down. I have no problem with that for safety. But a dawn to dusk access and just have staff review the what was it, the bollards on the southern side, have them review that for consistency, and probably with the Coastal Commission too. And condition it so that the kiosk is inside the fence or the fence is moved outside the kiosk, one way or the other. And have it so it comes back to the Planning Commission in a year for review. Then I think we can conditionally approve it.
What I'm hearing from I'm sorry, I don't remember your name, but what I'm hearing from the lady is that part of the issue, if we put it behind the fence, is that she's trying to attract the tourist, you know, the tourism issue, and
That's their ideal solution. You know, I'm not going to vote for the kiosk outside the fence. I don't think it's appropriate for the Embarcadero. I think it does set a bad precedence on temporary structures, even if they're tied to to existing, you know, water use, you know, businesses. Okay, what's to stop somebody from that has a kayak shop down there to set up a kiosk in front in one of the parking lots and say that they're renting the kayaks out of there, because it's tied to a water use. It's perfect. You can come pour it. It would be great to have more signage down there, you know, for anybody.
Right.
Yeah. So that's
yeah. The other thing is what Scott, I think, kind of addressed with the upcoming master lease program. That issue, is it going to be able to get, if this gets approved, would that get worked out in that dialogue?
I don't think the kiosk doesn't have anything to do with that. The business isn't the kiosk. The business is the business. The business is the boats. And the business is where they operate from a market. I mean, realistically. So that'll get dealt with however it was going to get dealt with before we ever had this conversation. This isn't going to change that process at all.
Okay.
I guess I do have one question about signs. When you've got the building, we base the signs on the square footage of the vertical surfaces of the building to the public. When you've got a lot that has no building, do we have anything about linear footage of the sidewalk or something like that? In other words, if one of the concerns was people don't know where this is, I except if it's an internally illuminated sign, I'd almost rather see any sign than another structure. You know, so if the pragmatic part of the rods and the, you know, folk can be inside, but a sign shows this is where Verges is, based on the fact that we should have some logic about here's a waterfront parcel that has X number of lineal feet that has no signage associated with it. I remember when we did that project initially, we asked the owner to refrain from putting signs on the metal fence because initially there were all sorts of things hung on there, and it wasn't very attractive. And he was very nice to understand that that was a smart thing to avoid too, I think. But this is something I'm not remembering anything in the sign ordinance about dealing with a lot per se.
There's nothing with a lot. Like, you can't put up a sign on a vacant lot because the sign has to be associated with something. And even, like, the code requirement for wall signs, you get 2 linear feet for every square foot of building frontage. So when staff approved the TUP for the kiosk, we said, okay, the kiosk is 8 feet wide. That gives you 16 square feet. So the Verge's landing sign, the fish identification chart, and the menu board, we counted up the square footage of all those signs. It was slightly over, and then we gave them a correction letter that said you need to reduce this because you can only have 16 square feet. And then they did that prior to issuance of the TUP. That's kind of how we dealt with that.
So more holistically, there's nothing that prevents Mr. DeGuermore from coming forward and having an application that has signs on it for anybody that he's leasing space. He could come forward and have a sign out in front where the kiosk is proposed that, has tenants on it. I mean, you see those for sites that have multiple tenants. That's common. In fact, our new sign ordinance suggests that you do just that. Or if you needed more signage because it didn't account for things like the businesses being on boats, then you can come through the process and get that exception approved through the Planning Commission. So our sign ordinance is, now while it doesn't specifically deal with that specific issue, it does have a mechanism where that could take place. It's just that would be up to the applicant or the property owner to come forward with something like that from a solution standpoint, because those boats are there. That is a business that is on site. It's not necessarily a complete off-premise sign.
Okay, I think that's time for us to kind of wrap this up and either bring a motion or do a denial. So, okay.
I'm glad that you made that contribution because that's sort of a solution of sorts in the not too distant future. But just to remind ourselves that we do want to encourage fishing in the area,
yes.
And we have the applicant who's eloquently spoken about her needs as a business person to have this versus a theoretical or a possibility that we just might have too many of these kinds of sheds popping up in the future. So we have a factual situation that we could actually help versus something that might not ever arise.
Yeah. So that's why I think if we can continue it or condition it that they can come back with a solution that would fit our concerns, then I think they can. And I think they can make that work so that she can continue on and make, and help, because they're a huge benefit to the city,
But she's told us that, reversing that shed so that it doesn't notify the public is really not going to meet her needs. And it will, I don't know if it will diminish her business, but it won't encourage her business.
Well, I think the signage could actually be above the fence. The sign on the side of the building will be above the height of the fence.
Oh.
So it will be visible.
They could change the location of it, depending on where they put the building. If they can put it somewhere along that fence, which is
right
where I would envision they would want it, if they can make that work and, Mr. DeGuermore's happy with that, I mean, they have to go talk to him about it. He's not here.
Scott, so just so I'm clear, so if you put the kiosk behind the fence, the sign can still be visible for people walking by that there's something?
Certainly.
I think we could make that happen probably with it,
Because you're going to have a 6-foot fence and you got an 8-foot building.
Okay, that's what I was saying.
I think they could come up with a angle brace that puts it, at the edge of it, at the edge of the thing, maybe. Yeah.
They could hang it from the rafter tails, and you've got you're up at 8 foot, and your fence only goes up 6 feet.
Got it.
So you'll be able to see it. You just won't have the imposition of the kiosk, on to the public.
Got it.
So, So I think it can solve it from, you know, solve the problem. So, okay, do we have a motion? Or are we anywhere near a motion?
I can't move anything.
Okay. So, okay. You want me to try to make a motion and see if we can?
Oh, yeah, okay. I want to paint the path, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the conditions we'd like to have on it. We'd want to have, you know, Cindy's condition on lateral access, draft condition 6 from should be repaired. The condition that lateral access is open from dawn to dusk, you know, if we minus the operation of the distinct operation of offloading of commercial fishing activities.
Yeah, we added it basically to the Coastal Commission condition. It's right there.
Okay, great. Just with the inclusion of dawn to dusk. And then have the city staff review the southern access portal there to see it's compliant with California Coastal Commission. And then have the condition that the kiosk be either moved inside the fence line or allow the fence line to be moved outside of the kiosk. If it's appropriate for all other, you know, planning conditions on the property.
There's a hydrant there behind the proposed kiosk, so I don't think that would work. Moving okay. the fence
there are
work.
Some things that there are some there's, things in the way over there.
Yeah, there's yeah. also a water backflow preventer back there too.
And fire wants to maintain 3-foot clearance to that backflow.
Yeah, so that would be potentially an issue.
So they need to take those considerations into account, and we would all be amenable to them from the Planning Commission standpoint of designating a parking space for the kiosk to go in if that is the only viable solution. So those would be the conditions to the, and then Joseph? And then to be, this permit to be valid for 1 year.
I would be in support of that if we had one more condition.
What's that?
And that's if the hours that the kiosk was manned was, I don't want to say police because that's the wrong word, strongly enforced. If Burgess wasn't manning the kiosk and the hours they said they were, some sort of enforcement mechanism exists.
Okay, let's discuss that, Jesse, because I'd almost like to see the kiosk manned more. You know, I would like to see them, if it's viable for them, to have somebody there from 6 o'clock to 3 o'clock every day, you know, rather than from 10 to 3. If that's viable for them, I would like to see it be there, you know, to whatever makes best sense for their business. So rather than restrict them to like a 4-hour operation, you know, if it makes more sense for them to be an 8-hour operation there, I don't have a problem with somebody being in that kiosk.
I think we're conditioning these as minimum hours.
Minimum hours, right.
Minimum hours, okay.
If it's not specific, we can alter it to make it that way. That was because these are the hours they gave us. We didn't come up with these.
Right, yeah. So that they don't just put this kiosk up, never man it, and have a free sign.
Yeah.
That's what I didn't want to encourage.
Okay.
Yeah. So condition 1 says that they need to man it during these hours.
And that there would be an enforcement mechanism that would be sufficiently encouraging of that.
Yeah.
Again, I drive by it 5 days a week.
I'll know if they're there by 7:30. Okay, is that a...
I'll second that.
Okay. Okay, do we have discussion on that motion?
Just you mentioned something about the aesthetics. Are you?
I'm not as concerned about the aesthetics if it's for 1 year and if it's behind the fence.
Okay.
But I would say if this is a permanent structure, then we need to deal with everything involved with it, lighting, you know, aesthetics and location and stuff.
The only discussion I have just before I vote is that I would be in favor of it in front of the gate or behind the gate.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Joseph, do you have anything else to say?
No. Surprisingly, no.
Okay. Do we want to open it up for the applicant? Kathy, come forward and just give us your two cents on this before we vote.
We'll go talk to Gio and see what we can work out. I think we're happy with that. Denise would be happy, if this doesn't work out for some reason, to be able to have a large enough sign on the fence down there, if that would be acceptable. And the only other question I would ask, if the permit's good for 1 year, is there some sort of a mechanism that would make it relatively easy for her to come back after the year to the Planning Commission rather than, do we have to reapply for a new permit after a year? Or
I think Scott.
We're issuing a conditional use permit, and they're requesting that we review it in a year. So that's basically how it's going to be issued.
Okay. So.
So they'll have to make an affirmative action at that point if they don't want to continue it.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure that we weren't going to be applying for a brand new permit after the year. This is just more of a review. Okay. I'm good with that.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Okay. Back to the commission. Let's call the question.
I'm sorry. Who was the motion maker and who was the seconder?
I made the motion.
Okay.
I second.
Okay. Commissioner Lucas.
Aye.
Commissioner Sadowski.
Aye.
Commissioner Barone.
Aye.
Commissioner Graffia.
Aye.
Chairperson Doar.
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes 5-0.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Okay. Okay, moving on to B2, case number UPO-495 and CPO-555. And we have a request for a continuance to a date uncertain. Does staff want to say anything on this?
Other than we noticed the project before when we went into the analysis to write the staff report and found that there were a couple of issues with it related to square footages, and I think we put that into the one-pager staff report we put together. And so we're working on solutions with the applicant right now about, to make it comply. And so sometimes that happens. Our code is not fantastic, the current one, about having hidden things in it. And that was kind of one of these things. Development standards are over here, and it complied with all those. And then it said, oh, wait, general plan had something in it, and we found it, and it ended up being a problem. So that was why the continuance.
It's not like you don't have anything else going on.
Okay, do we have a motion? Somebody wish?
I will.
Do we need to open this up to public comment?
Oh, sorry, yes, you need to take public comment.
Okay, I'm sorry. Point of order. Please.
I'd like to respond. I thought we were addressing this tonight. It's being extended.
It's being continued, yes.
So we don't see anything.
There's no staff report required, but if you'd like to say anything, we would.
We just like to see how far the setback is, the square footage. I went to the office and saw the plans.
Okay.
But I'd really like to see
them. Yeah, the plans are the plans. You can come in and look at them anytime. They're going to probably be revising the plans a little bit to address some of the issues that we ran into, which is why we had the continuance.
Okay, so when is that going to be? Or we'll be notified.
Oh, are you an adjacent neighbor?
Yes.
Yeah, then you'll get another postcard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you had to wait here. I apologize for that. What?
No.
I'll calm down. 2.5 hours
listening
to this bullshit.
Oh. That's the service we provide. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
It was on the agenda as continuance. Okay.
Poor guy.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to close public comment. do we have a motion to continue?
I'll move we continue.
I'll second.
Okay. This is due a date uncertain. Okay. Call the question, please.
Commissioner Sadowski?
Aye.
Aye.
Commissioner Barone?
Aye.
Commissioner Ingraffia?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lucas?
Aye.
Chair Lohr?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Cindy. Okay. Okay, new business, we have none.
Unfinished business, we have none. Finding commissioner's comments. Does anybody wish to say anything, more?
I just want to thank staff again. What you guys said about the Planning Commission Academy, and it's a good way to and all the concerns and stuff. But I don't know if it's appropriate, but if I could ask you a question. Mm-hmm. I went to the CEQA study session, and they said that there was a, and I don't have my notes with me, but there's a new case law that had changed something to do with how they view parceling out a project. I guess I'm not prepared really to. I could talk to you about it. Maybe it's tough, but
yeah, we have a few things going on in relation to that. So if you want to circle back around with me, I probably have information on it. It just depends. I generally try to follow all of the all recent cases that affect both planning and zoning law as well mm-hmm. as CEQA, mm-hmm. and easy to keep up on that. But I'm not sure exactly what you're referring to, because there's a few different things that are going on, including some legislation that's making its way through the process that might deal with that as well. So it's a little So, but if
I didn't bring my notes with. I was running a little late, but I just wanted to tell you it was once again a really good conference and.
Fantastic! You guys were all able to go.
Yeah.
Short of the, power issue.
I wanted to say the same thing. Planning Commissioner Academy was very educational. There was a lot of talk about the legislation involving housing. I work with planners all day. Very interesting group, and we've been talking about it since I've been to that academy and kind of bouncing questions off them. They're not really all that up to speed with it, because I guess it's still going through and. I guess what it'll have to be, once the legislation is actually more in its or closer to being an actual law, we'll have to kind of look at how that's going to affect our general plan update, and if all this work was for naught, because they're just going to go and change the rules on us anyway. So anyway, that's my comment.
Yeah, I thought it was great, but I do have it's a question. I think we all received the a kind of lengthy legal memo about the Panorama property. Will we get a counter argument, or will there be a presentation? I'd like to sort of see the other side.
So I have a draft response from the city attorney's office on that that I haven't had a chance to review yet. Okay. But we'll be giving that over to the folks that provided us their letter and responding. So, yeah.
Okay, I got a couple of questions for you, and just to bring some issues up. That there's an abandoned mobile home that's been dropped off on Sunset and 41. Do you have any information on that, or?
So code enforcement's engaged with it right now. We've talked to the owner of the property a couple of different times about it. It's not his.
Yeah.
It was dropped there. It was too large to really move. And I think, and they did end up going and filing a case with the police department, which they should have, because it's a crime.
Okay.
So I think we're working at it from two different directions right now. And I think we may actually know whose it is.
Okay.
So it's, it's just making those contacts and getting to the next step. So it's not going to be there forever. The question is, are we, if it takes too long, then we're just going to make the person that owns the property get rid of it. He has an application that's pending before us, and you'll be seeing it at some point in the next probably 4 or 5 months.
Okay.
So we're working our way through it. Again, it's from kind of two different ways coming at it in trying to get resolution. It was unfortunate. I think the gentleman that, story is, gentleman that acquired it for basically nothing, and then realized he couldn't really move it based on how old it was and that type mm-hmm. of thing, and so it's a problem, and so that's as far as it got.
So that's kind of what I figured. Then also it seems like there's a new sign that went up at Taco Temple. I drive by there every day. It's a new two-pole sign, plus they have another pole sign right next to it,
and so I'm wondering.
Well, they were in with a pole sign. They were in with the original pole sign, and they went to the two post one. And I'll have to go see what we approved and what they did. I haven't been by there recently.
It seems to be higher than the 6 foot that's allowed in our. In our present,
when they came in, the plans that they had given us, they came in several different times, and so it was they knew what the requirements were, and they had a compliance. They wanted to use the existing poles that were out there. We said, no, you can't. Right. So I don't know what's there. I have to go look, and then see if the planner who issued the permit has gone by and found out that they might not have. We might not have looked at it yet. So, but I'll write it down.
Okay. It seems to be just from memory that. You know, the new signs are supposed to be 6 feet and lower or something
like
that.
Well, our new sign ordinance does require lower signs.
No, I mean the existing sign ordinance.
The existing sign ordinance allows them to about that, the 6 foot. Yeah, exactly.
Seems a little tall.
Yeah, one more thing. In that planning academy, there was a lot of talk about, you know, affordable housing and high density and stuff. Mm-hmm. But what is a thread that's missing and in that all the discussion is supporting infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is something that, you know, as a planner, I know you work with Public Works, and I have my disagreements with the Public Works, but there is, that is something that needs, I think that needs a better, there has to be a better connection there. Water supply lines, sewer capacity, infrastructure, all those things, because those things are out of sight, out of mind, and you know, we get focused on the surface, but
This makes you feel better. I mean, the California Environmental Quality Act CEQA requires us when we're doing increases of density and things like that to account for the infrastructure that supports that. We're required to look at that. So anytime we're doing those types of things, and so for the larger general plan LCP update, zoning code update, we have to take that into consideration in the EIR that we'll be bringing forward to adopt in association with those documents. So all of that goes into it. It's comprehensive. We do have to look at all of those things and evaluate them and provide that analysis in the EIR.
Okay.
So very good point, and one that we are cognizant of, and our EIR for the general plan LCP is being written now. I mean, it's underway. Would also let you all know that we do have the module 3 out. GPAC will be reviewing it Thursday. It has policies for vacation rentals in it, if any of you are interested.
To piggyback on Richard's comment too, it seemed like there were a lot of the new legislation that's going to be coming down or is in process or may not ever happen, was to bypass the CEQA requirements for density, and therefore it didn't seem like there was any planning for even water supply, and there would be no way to limit the scope of the project even based on available resources. So any input that we have through the League of Cities or anything is critical.
I think thankfully most of the legislation that they're talking about allow by right housing type thing, come in with your building permit application, don't go through planning, is largely going to miss us. Most of that legislation says everywhere except in the coastal zone. Because you have to get a coastal development permit. So I think, you know, the way that it is right now, most of the legislation I've seen has those clauses in it. A couple of them don't, to my understanding. But I think mostly we'll escape that, and there'll be a permitting process for just about anything because it doesn't apply to the coastal zone. So we're a little lucky there.
Okay. Scott, did you want to have anything else to say?
I sort of snuck it in there a minute ago when I said we have Module 3 out there. I should have waited. No. I'm just letting you know, because when we're done with the General Plan Advisory Committee and we make whatever changes we make to that Module 3, then we'll become into Planning Commission. And so if you want to get a head start, look at some of the things that are in there just to kind of get your head around it, wouldn't be a bad idea since that stuff's
out. Could you email me a link?
Please. Yeah, I'll email it to all you guys. Yeah, I mean, if you didn't get it when we sent out the packet, I'll send it to you.
Okay, I think that pretty much wraps it up. We'll adjourn to the next regular scheduled Planning Commission meeting at the Veterans Memorial Building, 209 Sur Street, on May 1st, 2018, at 6 p.m. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah.